It is an incredible privilege to look into the Holy Scriptures during the week, to learn so many wonderful things, and to have an opportunity to share what I learned from this pulpit. It's an incredible honor. It's an incredible privilege. And I thank God for it. Would you please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. In 1 Samuel, as 1 Samuel opens, we have the beautiful story of Hannah and how she prayed for a child. It's a wonderful passage to read on Mother's Day. Here is a mom that wants nothing more. Here is a woman that wants nothing more than to be a mother, and she cannot have a child, and she prays that she can have a child, and God answers her prayer by helping her to become pregnant and to have a child. Of course, that baby is Samuel. And Hannah prays this beautiful prayer of thanksgiving to God. Would you stand with me, please? 1 Samuel chapter 2. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and rises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king. He will exalt the horn of his anointed." Please be seated. Verse 8, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. That is the God we serve. It is in God's character to help the poor. It is God's will to help the poor. That is his character. That is who he is, and that is what he does. The Psalms are a beautiful place to learn about the Lord. Would you turn with me to Psalm 68? Psalm 68, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. You confirmed your inheritance when it was parched. Your creatures settled in it. You provided in your goodness for the poor, O God. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high? He humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Lastly, Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet. The proud have hidden a trap for me, and cords they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. I said to the Lord, "You are my God." Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, that they may not be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, may the mischief of their lips cover them. May burning coals fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into deep pits from which they cannot rise. May a slanderer not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. What I want you to see, Trinity Baptist Church, this morning is one simple fact. God has compassion for the poor. God has compassion for the poor. And if God has compassion for the poor, then his children should as well. The beautiful book of Deuteronomy is called the second law. We know that in Leviticus we have the first law, and in Deuteronomy he states the law again. And I want to stress this, Trinity Baptist. Even though a lot of the laws in Leviticus and a lot of the laws in Deuteronomy we do not need to follow today, we know from the Apostle Paul that we've been set free from the law so that we might be joined to Christ. So you ask yourself, why should we read Leviticus? Why should we read Deuteronomy? And there are several answers to that question. But the one I want you to see today is in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, we can learn about God. And that is the value. That is why this book is still in the Bible. There are other reasons as well, but in the book of Deuteronomy, we can learn about God's heart. For example, chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15. Would you please turn there? In Deuteronomy 15, Moses talks about the Sabbath year. We all know that there is a Sabbath day. 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day you shall rest. Just as there's a Sabbath day for the children of Israel, there was also a Sabbath year. And let's read about that in Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15:1. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts. This is the manner of remission. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. From a foreigner you may exact it, but your hand shall release whatever is yours, whatever of yours is with your brother. However, there will be no poor among you, since the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess. If only you will listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all this commandment which I'm commanding you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. And you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers in any of your towns in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor close your hand from your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. In Deuteronomy 15, we see God's heart for the poor. The purpose of the seventh year was so that debts would be suspended or canceled. Not only is there grace for those in debt, but we know from other passages that the land was not to be harvested in the seventh year. And this provides food for the poor. and demonstrates God's compassion for them. Not only was there a Sabbath day, not only was there a Sabbath year, but there was also what I will call a super Sabbath year. After seven Sabbath years, or 49 years, God declared that the 50th year would be a super Sabbath year. And he called it the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. One Bible scholar has called the year of Jubilee, listen, the year of grace. We can read about this year of Jubilee in the beautiful book of Leviticus. And just like with Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, the value of Leviticus, one of many values of Leviticus, is to read about it and get a picture of God's heart. So would you please turn to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25, verse 23. The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently. And here's the key, Trinity Baptist, for the land is mine. For you are but aliens and sojourners with me. Thus, for every piece of your property, you are to provide for the redemption of the land. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. We can read about this practical application in the beautiful book of Ruth. Or in case a man has no kinsman, but so recovers his means as to find sufficient for his redemption, then he shall calculate the years since its sale and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and so return to his property. But if he has not found sufficient means to get it back for himself, then what he has sold shall remain in the hands of its purchaser until the year of Jubilee. But at the Jubilee, it shall revert, that he may return to his property. Likewise, if a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, then his redemption right remains valid until a full year. But his right of redemption lasts a full year. Look at verse 39. If a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to you that he sells himself to you, you shall not subject him to a slave service. He shall be with you as a hired man, and if he were a sojourner, he shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. He shall then go out from you, he and his sons with him, and shall go back to his family, that he may return to the property of his forefathers, for they are my servants, whom I bought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. Number two in your notes, Trinity, the basis of the year of Jubilee is one simple fact. God owns everything and everyone. God gave Israel the promised land. He divided up the land tribe by tribe. God wanted those divisions to be permanent. Sometimes due to poverty, someone in Israel would have to give up their land to someone else. In the year of Jubilee, the land goes back to its original owner. Why? Because the land belongs to God, and that's what he wants. That's what he wants. It is an important principle of Christianity that you don't own anything. My beautiful wife and I bought a house in November. That is not my house. It's not mine. I'm a manager. I'm a steward of it. God owns it. My cars are not mine. This building is not ours. I don't even own myself. The basis of the year of Jubilee is that God owns everything and everyone. This is absolutely foundational. And God wanted property and slaves to be set free on the year of Jubilee because God owns everything. And this once again shows us his compassion for the poor. There's one more place in Deuteronomy I want to show you, and that's chapter 24. Deuteronomy 24. Verse 14. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 24:10. When you make your neighbor a loan of any sort, you shall not enter his house to take his pledge. You shall remain outside. And the man to whom you make the loan shall bring the pledge out to you. If he is a poor man, you shall not sleep with his pledge. When the sun goes down, you shall surely return the pledge to him, that he may sleep in his cloak and bless you. And it will be righteousness for you before the Lord your God. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your countrymen or one of your aliens who is in your land, in your towns. You shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he will not cry against you to the Lord and it becomes sin in you. Okay, so the children of Israel have a neighbor, and he needs to borrow some money from his neighbor. So the one man loans money to the other man and takes a pledge from him. If the neighbor is so poor that his only pledge that he can give is his cloak, his coat, his outer garment, God commanded that that pledge be returned to him at night. Why? That's what he sleeps in. That's all he has. That's all he has. And the law is just because the cloak belongs to God. The cloak belongs to God. In Matthew chapter 20, we read that day laborers, or we studied and learned that day laborers should be paid that night. Why? Because there's no unemployment benefits or anything like that. The day laborer has no food. He works all day and he should be paid right away because his children are hungry and they are waiting for him to go buy the food with the wages he earns that day. And Deuteronomy 24 points this out again. He says, give the man the wages on the day. Don't go into his house to get a pledge. Perhaps this means that let the man select what he's going to give you. You don't go into his house and say, I want that or I want that. You wait outside and let the man go in and choose what he will give you as a pledge. And if he gives you his only outer garment, return it to him before the sun sets. Number three, an eternal principle for us today. God commanded the Israelites to have compassion for one another. God commanded the Israelites to have compassion for one another. And he commands us to do the same. The book of Proverbs, the greatest collection of wisdom ever written. The greatest collection of wisdom ever written. I want to read several Proverbs to you at this time. Please turn to the book of Proverbs. Let's start with 14:21. 14:21. He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Turn one page over to 14:31. 14:31. He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. That is God. A couple pages over, Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 5. Very similar. 17:5. He who mocks the poor taunts his maker. He who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. Here's one of my favorites. Proverbs 19:17. 19:17. One who is gracious to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. One who is gracious to the poor, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. 21:13. 21:13. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will cry himself and not be heard. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will cry himself and not be heard. One page over, 22:2. 22:2. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. 22:9. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. 28:8. Here's a real interesting one. 28:8. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. 28:27. He who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. He who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. And finally, 29:7. 29:7. The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such concern. The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked do not understand such concern. Beloved friends of Trinity Baptist, God has a heart of compassion for the poor. God commanded the Israelites to have compassion for one another. And the principle we can learn today is number four, he or she who is gracious to the poor honors God. He or she who is gracious to the poor honors God. It's Mother's Day. And hopefully you are familiar with the beautiful passage in Proverbs chapter 31, talking about an excellent wife. And let's close with that beautiful passage. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Proverbs 31, 10. An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She gives him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Look at verse 20, Trinity Baptist. She extends her hand to the poor. And she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Here's a practical application for you, Trinity, as I close. Every month we take what is called the Benevolent Fund. This is a very, very biblical offering. The sign of a healthy, strong church is that the members sacrifice for the poor among them. And I want to challenge you, we're going to be talking about the poor all month through the Bible, and I hope that you'll join us all month. And I want to challenge you with this one simple practical application. You know, and I know, that most of the time our benevolent offering is taken on the first Sunday of the month. It's not a surprise to you. So during the month of May, why don't you lift up all of your finances to God and say, "God, this is all yours. Every penny is yours. What can I sacrifice to honor you at the taking of the benevolent offering?" Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are gracious to the poor. And we simply pray. Our prayer is that since you are our Father and your Spirit dwells in us, that you would give us your heart for the poor, especially the poor among us. Heavenly Father, we confess to you right now that we do not have your heart for the poor. And we pray, Lord God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and you would conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, and you would give us your heart for the poor. In Jesus' name, amen.